You're listening to Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio. Now here's your host, Corrine Walson.
Welcome to Healing Through Prayer. I'm so glad that you could join me. And I want to thank the archive listeners. It's really humbling, and I'm so grateful that there are people out there that want to hear what I have to say. So thank you so much. I've decided for this week to take one of the parables, Jesus' parable from the Bible, and expand it or give you the spiritual connection or interpretation behind that parable. We've done a lot of talking about how the world you see around you is essentially your externalized thought. And quantum physics has confirmed that basically our thoughts construct and govern our lives. Pretty awesome. So if this is so, everything starts at that level of thought. And all the solutions to whatever seems to be confronting us, it's got to be addressed at that level of consciousness. So if you're inclined to fix an issue by going out and manipulating matter or the world, trying to convince or manipulate or change others, you know, or simply take any kind of measures outside of yourself, looking outside of yourself to find a solution, it's essentially the same as trying to remove a weed by snipping off the stem and the leaves. You know, the weed simply grows back. Unless you get to the root of that problem and take it out, it's just going to reappear in a different form, because the problem in the consciousness still remains. So at the root of all human sorrow and obstacles, they originate in our thought life, and so the solution, obviously, is our thought life. We've also discussed a lot about, you know, what and who we are in reality, not what the world would tell us and define us as, but what God knows to be true about his creation is what we are. He's our creator. He made us in his image and likeness. So from that, you have to know that you possess and have what God is. It's a, the Bible says we live, move, and have our very being in him. We know that God's all-powerful. He fills up all space. And that this presence is love. And when we fully understand our relationship to God, you know, if we really got it, we'd only experience harmony. We would get a sense of perfect and eternal life, and that would be expressed through us. Divine love enveloping us and holding us, keeping us close. And because we reflect divine mind, which is another word for God, we would know only what God knows about his creation. We would always know the truth, so we would never suffer from an untruth or a false belief. So we ask, well, where does sin, sickness, and disease come from? And they originate as a misstatement or a false suggestion brought to your consciousness for your acceptance. And I refer to that as the talking serpent, the liar. And he's a master of disguise. But we don't need to fear it, because it has no power, no form or body, unless and until you take it in as truth into your consciousness. So it's just a what if. And if you accept it and you bring it in, you give it all the life, power, and influence that it has or ever will have. And that's as long as you believe in it. It's going to remain and wreak havoc until you identify it and eject it from your thinking. Seems simple enough, right? So if all discord stems from erroneous false beliefs, then the solution is to take them out. And when you remove the false beliefs, all that remains is what God created, the enduring, the good, and the true. And that is all that you're going to experience. I want you to envision that your home represents your consciousness and that your front door is your thoughts. So you and only you have the power to determine what you're going to allow in and what goes out. And what you allow in is going to directly impact what you experience. So the first and obvious thing we would do is identify any would-be intruders that would come and destroy or damage our home. And in order to do that, you know, we really need to be awake and alert and sober so that we prevent any enemy from coming through the door. We'll lay patiently for a moment that you're not paying attention, or perhaps you're distracted, or we've become apathetic. You know, we just don't care. We've kind of become lazy about it, so that it can slide right past undetected. It's not going to just show up and say, "Hi, I'm here to make your life miserable. Can I come in?" Remember, the only way it can influence you is if you allow it in the first place. And in the book Science and Health, we read this quote, and it's so on point. It says, "Stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results, you will control yourself harmoniously. When the condition is present, which you say induces disease, whether it be air, exercise, heredity, contagion, or accident, then perform your office as porter and shut out these unhealthy thoughts and fears. Exclude from mortal mind the offending errors. Then the body cannot suffer from them. The issues of pain or pleasure must come through mind. And like a watchman forsaking his post, we admit the intruding belief, forgetting that through divine help, we can forbid this entrance. To those ideas and suggestions that don't promote love, joy, health, harmony, that's the first line of defense. Anything that's obvious, we can reject that and say, I know that's not of God. That's obviously meant to injure or harass me, and I don't have to dwell on these things. And we can pray each day as we start our day to be alert so that we won't be deceived into letting these thoughts that aren't from God into our consciousness. You know, that's a good prayer every morning to start out and just knowing and affirming who you are, what you're created of, what you're here for, what God knows to be true about you. So that throughout the day, when something that's so unlike what you know about yourself comes to your consciousness, you can recognize it and you can reject it. But what do we do about those serpent thoughts that are so deceptive that you unwittingly allow them in? You know, they come to you in the guise of something that looks good at the surface, and we accept it. But what about those times when we're asleep or under the influence or simply weren't paying attention and it crept past us? Well, once we've allowed them in and accepted the false belief or suggestion, they immediately take root. They quickly try to blend in and look as if they belong. And they're masters at disguise, and they're difficult to detect. Okay, so then what do we do? We've got the enemy living on our side of the line. Jesus Christ gave us the answer. And it's when he shared the story of a man or a farmer that sowed good seed in his field. Most of you are probably familiar with this, but let me go into it briefly. He shared with us that while men slept, a farmer sowed good seed in his field. But while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares?" He said unto them, "An enemy hath done this." The servant said unto him, "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up?" And he said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." A little further down the Bible, it says in Matthew, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, asking him, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field." So they were asking him to explain what he meant by it. "And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Behind every parable or story given to us by Jesus, there's a spiritual interpretation that holds the key to overcoming and winning the battle that must be fought at the mental level. We've got to dig deeper into each of Jesus' teachings and find that spiritual explanation behind them and how it applies to your thought life. The wheat field is your consciousness. Jesus described the sower of the seed as the Son of Man. We know that Jesus was sent by the Father to preach the gospel to us. Jesus' teachings are the seed. That's the truth that he gave us that's planted within our consciousness. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The perfect, holy, complete, loving, healthy offspring of the Most High God, his perfect creation. Jesus declares the tares as the children of the wicked one. It's those who have been mesmerized into believing in a power opposed to God. They serve a power opposed to God. It's those sinful and fearful, diseased beliefs. Jesus declares that the enemy or devil sowed or planted the tares. You know, we've talked a lot about it's that serpent within our thoughts that plants false beliefs, coming to us in the disguise of our own voice, and it convinces us that these false beliefs are real, and not only should we believe them, but we should defend them at all costs, you know, that there really are beliefs and we are justified in believing them. And finally, Jesus tells us that the angels are the reapers that come to separate the wheat from the tares at the time of harvest or the end of the world, and that the wheat is stored in a barn while the tares are burned. This is Eddie in Science and Health gives the best definition of angels as God's thoughts passing to man. Spiritual intuitions, pure and perfect. The inspiration of goodness, purity, and immortality, counteracting all evil, sensuality, and mortality. So going back to the analogy of your house and the door being your consciousness and thoughts, there are some suggestions that are so obviously bad and not according to God's word that we know immediately that we should reject them. But we need to learn how to recognize and reject the ones that are not so obvious. We know that we've accepted these lies and false beliefs into our consciousness because we still suffer from sin and discord and disease. So in order to restore the harmony and to heal, they've got to be removed. We must identify that false belief, separate it, and remove it. Well, who are the reapers in Jesus' parable? Who or what does the separating? Angels. Are God's thoughts passing to man? It is spiritual intuition. It's messages from the Holy Ghost, the divine comforter, that separates the wheat from the tares. The real from the unreal, truth from error, the spiritual from the material. They result in our aha moments, when we have a moment of clarity about something or ourselves, you know, and as who we are as the children of God. They come to us at times when we're reading our scriptures, when we're talking to a friend or reading a book. And it's funny how just the right book will come to us at just the right time. A poem or a song, something that you feel when you're listening to music. They come to us in the still, quiet moments, and they come to us in the most unique and unexpected ways. They whisper truth to us. And what happens when we receive these angel messengers and understand truth over error? When light displaces darkness? When we understand ourselves to be the spiritual, pure, and perfect offspring of God, as opposed to sinful mortals subject to disease and death, the error is destroyed or burned. cast off into its native nothingness, and harmony, life, and love reign. The kingdom of heaven is restored in our consciousness, and your experience is harmonized. I'd like to share with you some insights about this parable as given to us in Science and Health. It reads, "The temporal and unreal never touch the eternal and real. The mutable and imperfect never touch the immutable and perfect. The inharmonious and self-destructive never touch the harmonious and self-existent. These opposite qualities are the tares and wheat, which never really mingle, though to mortal sight they grow side by side until the harvest. Then science separates the wheat from the tares through the realization of God as ever-present and of man as reflecting the divine likeness. So as we spiritualize our thinking, as we learn and understand that God is our creator, that we are his image and likeness, and that what God did not create has no real existence and no power of its own, that what seems to oppose God only exists in our thoughts, and the only life it has is the life we give it. This understanding brings healing as it separates the truth from the lie, the wheat from the tares. And the more obvious the error, the easier it is to detect and remove from our thinking. But when the wheat and the tares first start to grow, it's difficult to tell which is which. But as they grow and take on the character of the seed that they come from, it becomes more obvious what the nature of the growth is. Is it a wheat? Is it a tare? And the same is true in our thought life. You know, the serpent is so sly, it has to be so deceptive in order to survive. The thoughts that it instills and suggestions it makes, impressions we receive and take in, sometimes it's just difficult to know and recognize, you know, and what am I believing? Is the road that I'm taking, the path that I'm on, are these prayer thoughts or are they wheat thoughts? There might be an argument for the good and the bad, and sometimes you just don't know. But continue on in faith and know that as you read your Bible, as you work to follow the Master's example, you know, and work to spiritualize your thought, recalling who it is that you are, what you're entitled to as a child of God, follow the commandments. Simply live your life in obedience to what we know God would want from us and what Jesus taught us, living the Beatitudes. We will naturally recognize that which is harmonious with what we're learning and how we feel when we do the right thing. And what is not truth will have such difficult time blending in with what is. It just won't feel right. It'll stand out. It'll be stark against the good. Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing, and he taught us that, you know, you can know them by their fruit. And he was asking us to look at what the person or the thought is producing. Does this bring peace? Does it instill faith and harmony? Is it loving? Or does it bring chaos and fear? Does it create doubt or inharmony? The truth and false beliefs seem to grow side by side in our experience. And as we grow spiritually, the false and material sense of life becomes more obvious. It becomes more uncomfortable. It doesn't fit. We outgrow it. And that's when it no longer has residence in our thought, when we stop giving it any power or influence. Science and Health goes on to state that mortal belief, or the material sense of life, and immortal truth, the spiritual sense, are the tares and the wheat, which are not united by progress, but separated. So as we continue to grow and mold ourselves into new creations, the old falls away from what is true. The truth never goes away. Only what is untrue is separated. The seed of truth and the seed of error, of belief and of understanding, yea, the seed of spirit and the seed of matter, are the wheat and tares which time will separate, the one to be burned, the other to be garnered into heavenly places. That was the end of the quote from Science and Health. So it's in our progress, the spiritualization of thought, that the false beliefs and the truth are separated. And you can rely angel messengers. They're always present to help us to detect the real from the unreal. We're not alone against this serpent. God is right here. As we focus on him, our progress is assured. It's a law. He's not going to let us walk around in the dark, but he sends those angel messengers to deliver us from those beliefs that bind us. He helps us to reclaim the freedom that's already ours. The answer to all your discord, anything that you experience that you would like to get rid of, is in lifting thought, spiritualizing your consciousness. And this doesn't have to be heavy or tedious. You can think of it like a game. Detecting the tears in your thought, anything that says you're limited, sick, sinful, less than perfect, needy, replace it with a weak thought. I'm beautiful, well able, intelligent, pure, having all that I need, and that your awesome God knows you, loves you, and is with you every moment. If you do this starting now, you'll see results in your life almost immediately in the most amazing ways. Your human consciousness is your human experience. We need to cleanse that human consciousness, remove the lies about ourselves, and start with the obvious ones and the ones that are buried so deeply that we're not even aware of. That's where God's assistance comes in. That's when we do what we know we can do today with what we know, God will certainly guide us up to the next level. He will help us, and we'll have deeper understanding about ourselves, the people that we live with, the people that we work with. We'll have more aha moments. That love channel I spoke about will open right up as we get our lives in accord with God. And all of these things that need to be eradicated will come out. They will give up the root, and they will be flushed out. I challenge each of you to start in just small ways. Find the obvious lies, the obvious irritants in your life. And when it comes to you, stop. Tell it where to go. And verbally or mentally, replace it with a wheat thought. Reject the tear thought, replace it with the wheat thought. Try it. I'd love to hear some feedback from you as you do this. Have a wheat-filled week. Bye now.
Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson is broadcast on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio.